Morning, Rabbi Yisai. I will try to be mashlim what we began to discuss last week. Okay, so the Gemara went through the various mitzvahs, going through sukkah, lulav, tefillin, tzitzis, and each one of these mitzvahs seemed to be a very clear outline of what the zman is when you chayiv in a mitzvah. There seems to be two conditions that are required for chinuch. One is something you would have thought of on your own before we learned the sugya. The cotton has to be a bar das, minimum das. I'm not talking about hashlama of das, complete das, that we know until a person's a gadol. They're not called a bar das, halachically. But we know that there's a metzias of das, which the Rishonim actually honor in certain areas even prior to a godless. L'moshel, there's a shir we call in halacha oinas hapa'utas. Oinas hapa'utas is a zman when a child understands masa umatan. He understands transaction. He understands the value of something. He won't throw away something that's valuable. So that age already, the Gemara says, Mekchon Mekach, Umemkoron Memkar. And in the Poiskim, there's a shayla if that means even Doraisa. Which means, those who hold it Doraisa, it means that there's a Metzias of Das, which can come before Bar Mitzvah, or Bas Mitzvah. Halachically, that Das, when it's Negeya to Mitzvahs, is not called Shleimus Adas. But as far as transaction, which is not a mitzvah, for that we go by the mitzvahs of the das. Others hold no, it's only a derabbanan, the whole concept of putas. It's not midaraisa. But that's what I'm saying, there's a mitzvahs of das, and that age varies. I mean, if we're going to go through all the inyan of chinuch now, we won't get out. I just want to tell you, in a general way, in the poiskim, it ranges from the ages of 6 to 8, when they call a child a tegil chinuch. A chora for a kid that's sharper, maybe at the age of 6. Obviously, the kid has to understand, has to have das, to understand what he's doing. The Primi Gadim says in Hilchas Kiddush that in order for a kid to be chayav kiddush, he has to understand what it means, that you're being Makadosh Shabbos. He has to know what it means. Rabbi Yankov Zecher Tzadik Levracha was actually against premature chinuch. He felt that a lot of issues that adults have is because of premature chinuch. For instance, he says when you teach a kid a brocha, before the kid understands that the bracha is anything with kedusha, it's just words. You get the kid, as soon as the kid's talking, you get him to start saying, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. He says, so then the kid remains with that his whole life. That's what it is. He says, you see a kid at 2 years old walking around with a dirty diaper making a bracha, walking into a bathroom and making a bracha. So Rabbi Yankov was of the opinion that you should not train a kid to make a bracha until he would understand, you know, I shouldn't make a bracha in a bathroom. That's not pasadik. So if the kid doesn't understand kedushas habracha, forget the chiyuv chinuch. Until the kid understands brachas b'mistame, he's not chayiv until 5 or 6 years old, to mechanech and bechlal in brachas. But he felt it was a negative chinuch. He went on to say a very interesting idea. He said, what's the reason why they didn't start with brachas when they used to teach children? They started with teres kayanim. So Chazal say, let the pure people, let the tinek tohirim, he's asking. Rabbi Yankov said a fascinating thing. He said that very often you gravitate to your first education. Girsa de Yankov said. He says, when you teach a kid, he says, it's very important that the kid doesn't remain with that understanding. He says, if you teach them kodshim or taharas, there's no way that they won't get older and realize, hey, you know, I don't know, taharas. I don't know. No kid gets older and says, you know, I'm pretty much no kachim. Because kachim is complicated. And therefore, they could, that's what we start them with. He says, if you start teaching them about the Ovis, about Avraham Yitzchak Yankov, he says, their whole life, the father Abraham is that guy with the turban, you know, with the tent over there. And that's who he is. And that's their understanding of the Ovis HaKadoshim. That was his feeling. He was actually makbid on that the premature chinuch can have a negativity. That was his feeling. But that's one step of chinuch. Our Gemara is primarily dealing with the mechanics of chinuch, and our Gemara is saying that each mitzvah has an age where the katan, after he passed checkpoint one, that he's enough of a bar das to mechanech him, he has to be able to physically be able to do the mitzvah. Coordination and everything else, that's a separate component. So, based on that, the Ramor Grad in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim is a tremendous chiddush. He says that coordination by Netilas Yadayim is critical. He says that if a katan is less than 6 years old, he holds that he can't give you Netilas Yadayim, the Ramor Paskins. He says because it's not a koyach gavra. It's like a koyach of a monkey. He calls it a koyach koif. The Ramor in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim. That means if you have a gadol and he wants his hands washed, you need to have a koyach gavra. You need to have a human force to do the mice and the tila. So the Ramor, in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim, he says that yesh omrim, that a katan less than six can't do it. Can't do. Again, that's not a das thing, that's a coordination thing. Katan less than six has a din of a ben vava. Actually, I use this to answer of Kivega's kasha, because Kivega asks that in Yerudea, in Hilchos Shechita, over there the Shulchan Aruch brings down that if a katan shechts, as long as a gadol witnesses the shechita, it's kosher. So Kivager says, why didn't the Ramor make that same objection that it has to be more than 6 years old? And Hilchos Netilas Yadayim, he said, less than six is not a koyach gavra. It's that age, his whatever it is, for whatever reason, it's not called a koyach gavra. So why didn't he say the same thing in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim? That's Reb Kivager's question. So Reb Shlomo Hyman had a shir on this Reb Kivager, unfortunately, in the Sefer of Shlomo Hyman, he brings the question, and it's missing the Hemshech. They didn't find the end of the shir. But that's the contradiction of Reb Kivager. So the way I understood Reb Kivager, I think is, maybe to answer the question is simple, and that is, the way we're explaining, there are two components. There's a physical component, and then there's a conceptual component. The Ramah definitely doesn't mean that a katan less than six conceptually is not a gavra. Of course he's a gavra. Mechal Shabbos to save his life, you don't say it's a monkey. Means he's an adam, we'll hold over. He's talking about a physical component. So I think that you could say very simple. If you took a knife of a shechita, sakan shel shechita, right? And you threw it in the air, you threw it up, and on the way down it shechted. It would be posel shechita. It's not a koyach gavra. Gravity would not be a good shechita. If you took the knife and you threw it ahead, would be a good shechita. It's koyach gavra. What happens if you go onto a roof and you drop a knife? You drop the knife. You don't put any force into it. Logic would say that also doesn't work. It's also gravity. What's the difference if I threw it up and it comes down, or I left go of it and it come down? The Yad Ramah in Sanhedrin, in Abba Mises, when he talks about the Chiv of Ritzicha, he says somebody who goes to a rooftop, if he throws a knife up and it kills somebody on the way down, he says he's potter from Misa. It's gravity. But if you went onto the roof and you dropped a knife and it killed somebody, he says you're chayev. He says why? He calls it geiri delay, which means that's called an extension of your hand. What if you go deeper into what he's saying, I think he's saying a simple thing. He's saying, if a person goes and he kills somebody, he's not chayev because his koyach killed somebody. He's chayev because he killed somebody. He killed somebody. Yes, it's his force too, 100%. But you don't have to come on to that, it's his force. It's him, right? If somebody went and threw something and it killed somebody, then it's indirect. Now you have to come on to the halacha of koychoy kegufoy. Your force, just like this shluchoy shel adam kamoisei, if I sent a shliach, it's like me. My force represents me. That's obviously the way it works. The Yad Ramah feels that so long that the thing is still going in the direction that I let it go, I don't have to come on to koychoy. That's an extension of me. And therefore, even though it's not my force, I'm chayev, because I don't have to come on to koychoy. That's, I think, the pshat in the Yad Ramah. The Chalkus Yoyev says, if that's the case, by shechit it would also work. If you stood on a rooftop and dropped a knife, perhaps according to the Yad Ramah would work. The Yad Ramah is a big chiddush. I'm not saying that we halachically hold like the Yad Ramah, But the concept we definitely hold of, which is that if a person himself does a ma'aseh, you don't have to come on to Koyach Gavra. So I wanted to say, what's the case of Shechit in Shulchan Aruch? It's talking about a regular case where you shecht. So if a cotton goes and he shechts, that's not Koyach Gavra, that's Gavra. So dear, the Ramah doesn't say that there's a problem with the Shechita, that maybe less than 6 years old is a monkey, because he's not a monkey. In Netilas Yadayim, you're always doing it with Koyach. You're never the Netilah, you're being pouring. It's always coming from your Koyach. So there, you have to come on to Koyach Kegufay. Your force is like you. And there, the Ramah says that a cotton, because he lacks coordination, he doesn't direct his force in a precise way, he doesn't have the din of Koyach Gavra. But he's still a Gavra. So in Shechita, there was no objection. That's why the Ramah didn't say, less than six, he's a monkey. He's not a monkey. He's a human being lacking that mechanical component of Koyach. And that's really what this sugya is about. This sugya is saying that even after he's a Gavra in Hilchas Chinuch, but he has to have the mechanical components. And as we went through the sugya, we saw most of the cases we were able to learn with ease, because each one of them are requirements, mechanical requirements for the mitzvah, which a cotton has to reach a certain age. He has to be able to be misatef, he has to be able to put on the tzitzis properly, he has to be able to shake the lulav properly. Each component made sense. But we were struggling very much with the first condition that the Gemara gave, which was that a cotton, she'enu tzorech li'imoy, is chayiv b'sukkah. So long that the child needs his mother, he's potter from sukkah. That didn't seem to work with anything else that we had over here. All the other components in the sugi were very klar and very glatt, that each mitzvah, you have to be able to do that specific mitzvah. This mitzvah didn't seem to make, this didn't seem to work. So we had a very creative approach from the Brisker Rav. The problem we had with the Brisker Rav is that the Brisker Rav seemed to be mixing a Lomdische concept with a practical concept together. It didn't seem to work. The Brisker Rav says over here that this is a shear of chinuch, which clearly everybody agrees, because that's what this Gemara is all about, the age of chinuch for each mitzvah. It's a shear chinuch, but he says the reason is the kivon de le'inyan chinuch be'inon chozi le'kiyum ha-mitzvah. He has to be able to do the mitzvah. Ukmoy damrinan gabi lulav katna yadel naneya v'chin gabi tzitzis katna yadel asatev. V'kivon, the godol atzmoy, harei mitztayor poto mi mitzvah sukkah. Im kein, hu adin koton shetzorech li'imoy harei mitztayor v'inu roi l'kiyum ha-mitzvah. That's what he says here. That's what the Brisker Rav says. And the problem we had with this Brisker Rav is that mitztayer is a physical component. Mitztayer potum in asukah is a physical thing. It means if a person is in pain and they're therefore having difficulty to be in the sukkah, they're potum. If 5 minutes later the tsar goes away, right, or you got therapy or whatever, now you could sit in the sukkah. So now you got to go in. Person is scared of a. Somebody came to me on Yom Tov, they're scared of a raccoon. So I'm glad they're not scared of the raccoon. Generally, Baruch Hashem, I haven't gotten attacked by raccoons. So I don't have a nightmare of raccoons. Even I once had a raccoon in the house. But this guy, he was potter from sukkah. He came to me, he was tittering. He was mama shaking. He was potter. I'm chayef. Same sukkah, same matzav, I'm chayef. Mitztayer is a subjective p'tur. And memela, if somebody, let's say, is scared to be in the sukkah at night without people, he's p'tur from sukkah. If then company comes and he has somebody to be in the sukkah, he's chayiv in sukkah. Right? Let's say, yechveis, he's only comfortable in the sukkah with this big friend of his that he feels can can take care of the raccoons. Yeah? So if that friend comes in, he's chayiv in sukkah. If the friend is out, he's potter from sukkah. So I don't exactly understand why this cotton is called potter from sukkah. This cotton needs his mother to be comfortable in the sukkah. So when his mother's in the sukkah, he should be chayiv in sukkah. When his mother's not in the sukkah, he should be potter from the sukkah. The Brisker Rav says, no, He says that the kiva on the begadol atzmim in kein cotton kishatzorach limeirim mitzdayel veini roy lekima mitzvah. Umitam zeh, says the Brisk Rav, because of this, loy chal alav chiyuva de mitzvah sukkah. The choshev sheini roy lesukkah. Period. Anyway, so to me this was a plea, this Brisk Rav, really a plea, and I explained last week by Riches, and I felt that if we take this to the next level, I really hear, if anything, that the mother has to be in the sukkah. Because she, on the tzad, again, is a machloikis rishonim, if a mother is chayiv in chinuch or not, but on the tzad that a mother is chayiv in chinuch of her child, like Rashi says in the Chagiga, on Dav Beis Amid Aleph, Hitilu Chachomim Alove Valimo Yilachan Chayv B'mitzvahs. So on the tzad that the katan is chayv in chinuch, the mother is chayv in chinuch, so she should have to be in the sukkah. And as I mentioned to you, the maisa with Reb Chaim Oizer, that he once was not feeling well, he was parted from sukkah, but they had guests. So after he parked himself in the house, he came back into the sukkah, and his wife asked him, she said, I thought you're sick, you're parted from sukkah. He said, yeah, I'm parted from sukkah, but I'm not parted from achnasas orchim. And I had a tremendous joy. You know, sometimes something is just bashelt. So this week, I happened to have been in a doctor's office. And he happened to have had a magazine from a Frum magazine. Don't worry about it. It's a Frum magazine. From Tovshin Lamed Aleph. And over there, they had different shilas that they had asked Rabban Kotlel. And they asked Rabban Kotlel if a father is mitzdaya. He has a headache. He's brought it from sukkah. But his son, he has a little bicycle, he's being mechanech. The son is not mitzdaya. So listen to Rabban's teretz. He says, Shal echod b'bnei ha-chabura, yima'av mitzdaya b'yeshiva sukkah. Avol ha-ben eino mitzdaya. The son is not mitzdaya. Ha'im yesh chiyuv ala'av leishev b'sukkah, in benoy mitam mitzvahs chinuch. Mamish, what we spoke about. We spoke about it l'gabit a mother. The heishiv moron zeichat tzadik livrocha. The kacho yomaisa etzal agon reb chayim oizel. Sho yo istin is godel besuka me'ako. He brings down it was he was cold. The yotza me'asuka. The acha kachoza l'suka mitam uchov. The omar she mitztaya potu min asuka. Avu mitztaya rene potu me'achnos usochem. So the Baron held, the father has to now sit in the sukkah, not al tzitzchiv, but al tzchinuch. Which is precisely what I'm telling you, I hold the halacha would be l'gabi the mother. I feel that the mother would be chayiv to go into the sukkah. If the reason why we're pottering the son is because mitztaya, potter, not sukkah, somebody can get me a meseches sukkah, kimora, and a... what else could we use in there? A sukkah ball, that would be enough. So, one other thing, I'm sorry, I have to lie. I didn't mean to make a ritva, the sukkah also. Mechuyev, no. So, this is further... pushes this concept. I'll tell you more than that. There's a along the same lines. Oh, you're the Ritva. You're looking for what is the Ritva in the Rashba? The Gemara in Sukkah on Dav Gimel, Dav Beis Amid Beis, Dav Gimel Amid Aleph. The Gemara discusses. This is a Sukkah. This is a Seder. The Gemara there in Sukkah discusses whether Hilni Amalke, was able to be in a Sukkah that was possible. And the Gemara says that Hilni Amalke had to stay in the Sukkah that was kosher to be mechanech her children. That's the Gemara in the Sukkah. Shkoyach, thank you so much. The taka looks like that, you know, because it's covered. The Gemara says like this, Maisa Bihilni Amalka, that she was sitting in a sukkah shahoyo lamala meyasim ama, and Rav Yehuda brought a raya from here that a sukkah that's higher than 20 is kosher. Which Agavurcha, the Ritva over here, says is a raya that when you do chinuch, it has to be in a way that you could be yotze. Otherwise, what's the whole Gemara's kasha? It was more than 20 amas, it was chinuch. So the Maratz Chayas on this Gemara brings down the question that Tosfos has. There are Rishonim who hold that when a woman is potter from a mitzvah, she's not allowed to do it, because it's Baal Tosif. So he asks, the Maratz Chayas brings down from Tosfos a problem, how is Hilni allowed to be in the sukkah? How is Hilni allowed to be in a kosher sukkah? It's Baal Tosif. So listen to what the Maratz Chayas says. He says, I am Tosfos Be'erivin. The Lashitas Reb Yehuda, the Benois Yisrael ain't same chos, Iko Baal Tosif, im Isha Oise Mitzah Asay Shazman Groma. Im Cain, Eich Yoshua Basuka. How did Hilni sit in the Sukkah? V'yesh Loimar, the Be'eme Zeu Kavonas HaLoshon. That's Taka Pshat. The Pshat is that since She Yoshua Bishvil Haboni, she was in the Sukkah to be Mechanach her children. For loyalasa is mitzvah. And therefore there was no Baal Tosif. So again, we have another mocker from the Maratz Chayas that if there would be a chi of chinuch, then the mother belongs in the sukkah. So this the whole Briskerov's concept that mitzvah, that the reason why a cotton that needs his mother is potter from sukkah is because he's mitzvah without her, is a tremendous chiddush. Now, what? That's the way we hold. We're going according to the other opinion. I mean, the Tosfos is asking according to the other opinion. He's not. He does do well. It's a Metzias. He doesn't do any less than anybody else. Glad that the kids that age do best in the sukkah. The more oblivious they are, the better it is. The less of an issue it is. So I want to show you a lashon of the Ritva, which sounds like the Briskerov. Sounds like the Ritva, perhaps learned like the Briskerov. The Ritva is found over there in the sugya and daf chav ches. That's the sugya of Kotten Shein Tzorach Le'imoy. And he goes on to explain why is a Kotten Shein Tzorach Le'imoy potter from sukkah. V'shir Kotten Shehigia L'chinuch Eino Yishoveh B'chol HaMakoymus. First the Ritva says a klal. It's not equal in all places. Which is our sugya. Every mitzvah has its own age of when the proper chinuch. And he says, by sukkah there's another chiyuv. And he says, now, what's the reason here why it's different? So he says, because a kotn she'utzorech le'imoy, a cotton who needs his mother, the koire mishinosoi ima, he's oduk bi imai. He's oduk, he's attached to his mother. And therefore it's not shaykh, doesn't make sense for him to be chayiv and sukkah at that point. But he doesn't go to say that extra knach that mitztayer. He just says he's oduk bi imai, he's attached to his mother. And that's why he's potter from sukkah, potter from chinuch. Sounds like what he means to say is, and the mother is not in the sukkah, and therefore it's not feasible. Why is it not feasible? Because to separate him would be mitzdayer. Again, this he doesn't say all of this. I'm just saying that would seem to be the conclusion of what the Ritva means. But I really think there's a much deeper idea that's being conveyed, and I think that could be pshat in our sukkah as well. Because the Gemara there in sukkah says that Shammai, Shammai HaZokein was machmir, and he was so machmir that he actually took off the roof when his daughter-in-law had a baby. The Gemara says there on the Chof Ches, he opened up the roof. He made an indoor sukkah. That was the first indoor sukkah in history. Piches is Hamaziva. He took off the roof so that the child should be Mekayim, sounds like, so that the child should be Mekayim the mitzvah. Okay? Whenever I learned the sukkah, it always bothered me. The child? No shaykh is the chinuch. The kid was just born. The kid was an infant. What does it even mean? Shammai was machmer. What was the chumrah? So there's a lot of chassidish atayr on that gemara. That the sukkah has kedusha and it's mashpi on the baby and all the... But if you want to stick to pshat, very difficult to understand. What was he doing? But this ritva enlightens the sugya. And I think with his gether, we can pull it into our sugya as well. The ritva says, Hoda aminon shamay machmer latzmei hoya. He says, what does machmer mean here? He says, the b'hom mil seleka chiyav akotn loy midaraisen. Clearly wasn't machmer for the baby. Baby wasn't chayav in sukkah, right? The loy aloviv midarabonah. Clearly the father is not chayav at all. Shadayin lo higi lechinuch. He says, so what's going on? Hare mi she'ene mitzuve voiseyu was a hedyat. Chazal tell us, if you're potter from something completely, you do it anyway, you're a hedyat. So I don't know what was Shammai doing? Elo, Shammai machmir. Hainu, machmir min hadin. The Ritva learns the Gemara that Shammai held that midaraisa, you have to open up the roof. That seems to make the problem much bigger. He says, this wasn't a chumu de rabbonin. This is Shammai was machmir bedin. He held, you have to do this. He says, why? The kesova sho'oviv chayiv bo min ha'toira. New thing. The father midarais is chayiv to open up the roof. Why? The teishu came to aduru ish ubonov. This is the father's obligation. He had the way he lives in his house. He lives in his house with his family. The legabi didei midrashoch. Afal gav de loy dalshin le lechayiv ish besuke. V'hu anochay. Okay, then he brings on another pshat. Another pshat that it could be the rabbonin. But this is the Ritva's initial pshat, that this was a deraisa of teshu came to do. So I want to give you a little bit of a machshava here. We don't find anywhere in halacha that if a person is sitting in the sukkah without his kids, that's not teshu came to do. You have to pull your kids in wherever you go to the sukkah. So it doesn't make sense. I think that the Ritva, there's a lot of unspoken things in this Ritva. I think what the Ritva is telling us is like this. There's an age where the child is always with his parents. The child is not ready yet at this point to have his own independent livelihood. He's not somebody that can have his own independent living. At that point, when the child is at that age, he's tofel to his parents. He's not an independent. It's like, oh, my kid is there, I'm here. It's, we go together. We are like, v'hoyu l'basor echad. We're one basor. It's one thing here. You know, I once told a guy who came to me years ago, a younger man, you know, they didn't have much money. The wife had very, very high taste, not only her own personal, the way she dressed. She also wanted her child that she brought to shoe, mamish a little baby. But it should be very expensive, whatever they call those things, the stretchies, whatever it was, wasn't like basic. I mean, the stretchies were more than my suits cost. These were, and that's not so expensive, but I'm just saying, this was a hoyn rav. And they got a little bit into a sichsuch. And she said, listen, her tainit to him was, listen, this is who you married. You know, I didn't know how you were, I didn't know how I was. I'm a bas hashirim. This is who I am. I tell this to boys all the time. When boys are looking for money, besides that, the Gemara says that somebody who marries a woman, l'shem momen, havin lebonim, sheinim uhugonim. It's not a very geshmaki Gemara. Again, that doesn't mean you can't marry somebody with money. It means if that's what sways you. I say Bechlal, in the last 20 years of seeing Talmidim get married, the ones that learn the longest are generally Talmidim that marry poor girls, God. Not rich girls. The girls live very nof, they don't need anything, they live on. And you marry a girl who has a comfortable life, I'm not chas from anything bad. She's used to, the Gemara says that that they were, during the time of the Churban, the poor women are the ones that lived the longest. And the women that came from wealthy homes, the more wealthy they were, they died right away because they couldn't deal with the, so it's not a joke, it's a real thing. So that's my sheet. I say, if you want to, I don't think money's a bad thing, it's not very nice, nothing, I've nothing against money, it's very nice. But, if you're doing it l'shem learning long, it's lav dafka, the approach. So l'maisa, this guy said, it's true. My wife, I never stand in her way. Whatever she wants to buy for herself. But how far does it go? This is the baby's clothing. I never made a ksuba with the baby. I never wrote to the baby v'sipukaychi. So I was like a lumdish shalom bayis problem. So that's kishma, because then you just have to give a piece of lumdish to take care of the problem. Usually it's more complicated than that. So I gave him a lundership etzah, why his wife is right. I said, you have to realize, your wife doesn't really care about how the baby is dressed. Just like if you walk around with an umbrella. So if you're a chashev person, the umbrella has to look nice, right? So I said, so your wife wants to come in to shul with a nice hat, or whatever it's large hats, and a nice baguette, and a nicely dressed child that she carries with her. That's her tachshit. That's not for the baby. That's her tachshit. For I should be embarrassed to walk around without a nicely clothed baby. She'd give it to somebody else to hold. It's not mine. So that's the sipukaychi. So he said, I hear. Okay. Ibiza is masking. As long as it fits into the ksuba, he was masking. So Lamaisa, the fact is that at that age, a child is part of the other v'imoy. So Shammai held that the teishul gain to dugu extends to the child as well. I want to tell you, forgetting Shammai shita on the father, I hold legabi the mother, everybody's mask. Akotni shetzorech l'imoy doesn't have his own dira. He's not a dweller. He's dwelling with his mother. He doesn't have an independent ability to dwell. And the Mela, since the mitzvah of Sukkah is Tzemi Diras Kva, the mitzvah inherently is a mitzvah to be Oiker Yodiras Arai, and to go from the Diras Kva and go into the Diras Arai. The Kotnish Yitzorich Li'imoy is not a Medaya. He's not a dweller. He doesn't have his independent dwelling, his independent Kavias. And therefore, he's always parted from Sukkah. And I will tell you a bigger Chiddush. Our Kotnish Yitzorich Li'imoy Le'Leinu is a Yosem. And there's somebody else taking care of him, he's vayta pater from Sukkah. For the same reason. He's not an independent liver. He can't live. He goes to sleep. He has to know where his mother is. He can't be kovei himself independently. It's much different than a mitztayah. A mitztayah decides that he's a mitztayah. And he lives where he wants to live, based on his comfort. This kid doesn't have any such an option. He's dwelling where his mother dwells. Shammai extends it to another madrege. Says the father is also part of that package. And now it becomes reversed. Now since the father is part of the package, even though the kid is part of from Sukkah, the father has to have the kid in the Sukkah, should be Teishu came to do. And that I think is a glatta mahalach, how to learn the Sugya. And then it fits with the whole list of conditions. Sitzis, you have to be able to be a loivesh. Somebody who wears sitzis has to be at the age that he can dress. Somebody who's a dweller, a mitzvah of dwelling, you have to be a dweller. And if you're not ready to dwell, you're not chayav. That's how I would type this up. I have enough trouble understanding the Gemara. I can't answer every briskerov. I don't know pshat. I tell you, I don't know pshat in the briskerov. It's difficult to meet the briskerov. I'm just giving you another eitz of how to learn our sugya. Maybe you can fit this pshat into the briskerov. That's your job for the week. Okay. Now, one other knach before we go on, I don't know how much we're okay still. Yeah. We left open-ended two things. Number one, we left open-ended the shaila about how much does the kid have to be able to be makayim the mitzvah. From our Gemara, it's mashma fully. Fully. Even the minor details of the mitzvah, the cotton has to be able to makayim, to be chayim and chinuch. The Gemara says he has to be a Deil Nanea. He has to be able to shake the lulav, not enough to pick it up. He has to be able to be misatif with the tzitzis. Each thing, he has to be able to do the mitzvah fully. The question is, we have a little bit of a contradiction with this. And the contradiction we had was, in some places it seems to be we scrutinize it, and that's the Ritvin Sukkah. The fact that the Gemara says that a sukkah that's higher than 20 amos is kosher, from the fact that it was used for chinuch. So the Ritva says, from there I have a raya, that when you do a mitzvah, you have to do it in a way that you could be yotze the mitzvah as a gadol. And he says he's seen great people make a mistake in this. That's what the Ritva says there in Sukkah. He says like this. Mehosh aminon. He says, from here we see the koton shemechan chimoisoi tzorich lasoi sa mitzvah behechsher gomo. The mitzvah must be done completely kosher, completely kegodl. Do my sin and raya b'shmeitze misuka deuni amalka. The loisagya. It's no good. Bekotn shigil lechinuch. The boy suka malyasa. And he says, if that's the case, he says, he says, I hold that this is Aleph Beis. You know why I'm writing this here? He says, he says, I've seen chachomim error and think, chinuch, doesn't matter. Chinuch, whatever it is, it's good enough. That's what he says over here. Now, lumazeh, and clearly our sugya seems to go like the Ritva, that every mitzvah has to have an age where he can perform the mitzvah fully in a way that he could be yotze when he'd be a god. Seems to be clearly the approach of our sugya. However, we find in Hilchas Sukkah, it brought down actually in the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Lulav in Siman Tov Reish Nun Ches, that what do you do with a cotton as far as the lulav and esrog is concerned? The Gemara in Sukkah just tells us what not to do. The Gemara in Sukkah says, over here the Gemara says, cotton ayedeil in anea, a cotton that knows how to shake, chayiv belulav. If you note, the Gemara does not say chayiv oviv liknois loy lulav. Doesn't say that. It says chayiv belulav. It's chayiv and lulav. When the Gemara says kotna yedei alishmor tefillin, the Gemara says oviv lokeach loy tefillin. And there's a reason for that, because by tefillin, the minig in those days, the Bir Halacha says, was to wear tefillin all day. So you can't let the kid put on your tefillin for a minute and be yaitzah, because they used to wear tefillin all day. So you have to buy him his own tefillin. The Mishabura wants to say that, Bizman Hazer, if a father would want to give his son, he davens vasikin, and his son davens later. If he would want to share his tefillin with his son, he's makayim this tomorrow. Because this is only in those days when they wore tefillin all day. That's what Mishabura says. So Lamaisa, but clearly by lulav, the Gemara doesn't say, chai oviv loikeach loy lulav. But yet, the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Mem Zayin, says that you can't give your lulav to the cotton because he can't give it back to you. So how are you supposed to bridge the gap here? If you don't have to buy him one, and you're not allowed to give it to him, so what do you do? So there's a big shailin in the Rishonim, what to do. And actually, the Rosh brings down a machloikis, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Tov Reish Nun Ches. Mishabura has a discussion about it over there. What do you do? Some Rishonim felt, you do the mitzvah first, and after you finish, give it to the child. Then it doesn't matter if he gives it back to you or not, you completed your obligation. The Mishabur says it's not such a great age that a kid should say hallow without a lulav if he goes through the whole thing, whether yes or not. The other solution, I'm saying if, because the Gemara doesn't obligate you to buy him his own. We're wondering, what's the Gemara thinking? The Gemara told me two things. The Gemara over here says he should shake lulav. The Gemara doesn't say you have to buy him a lulav. And the Gemara in Sukkah says don't give it to him because then you're stuck. So how do we bridge the gap? So what are you supposed to do? So some say you're supposed to buy him one. But again, the Gemara here doesn't say you have to buy him one. So some Rishonim say that all you have to do is give him the lulav and not be maknet him. Won't be his. Just give it to him. And that's enough. The Mogen Avraham brings down this opinion, and the Mogen Avraham strongly disagrees with it. He says that you're not being Mekayim Chinuch. That's the whole sugya over here. You got to do Chinuch in a way that he could be Yotze when he's a good. That this doesn't work. That's the Mogen Avraham's question. And therefore, Mogen Avraham says that's not a solution. The Big Day Yesha, which is quoted over there as well in the Mishnah Berurah, brings down this Big Day Yesha, says no. Just give it to him and don't be kind of, it doesn't bother him. How does he bridge the gap with our Gemara and the Gemara in Sukkah, Dav Gimel, and his opinion? How does he? It does fit, because our Gemara doesn't say you have to buy him a lulav. So it does fit. But how does this work with the whole idea? So I want to go back to the Shaila that we had last week and clarify it. And with this, I think we'll get this as well. Last week we discussed, who is the Chiyuv Chinuch? Is the Chiyuv Chinuch on the child? Or is the Chiyuv Chinuch on the father? Or perhaps both? Seemed to be a wide gap, machloikis, between Rashi and Tosfos and Brachos Daf Mem Ches. Clearly, that's the understanding of the Achronim, that Rashi and Tosfos argue. Rashi holds the Chiyuv Chinuch is only on the father, while the Baalei Tosfos hold that the Chiyuv Chinuch is on the son. And the Baalei Tosfos present a very obvious raya that it must be on the son as well. How could it be Motzi? Halach is by a mitzvah de Rabbonon, by Birchas HaMazon, for instance, if you only ate a shear de Rabbonon, the cotton could be moitzi you. So you see, if the cotton is not a Baruch Yuva, how could he be moitzi? So we concluded, I don't know if the point was 100% clear, so I'll try to crystallize it now. We concluded that Rashi and Tosfos are really on one page. Halach HaLamaisa, Rashi and Tosfos are on one page. Because I brought down from Abu Chonon that it's impossible to say that the Kotten himself is Chayiv. Because after all, he's a Kotten. And even the mitzvah Chachomim doesn't apply to a Kotten. He's a Kotten. On the other hand, Tosfos is right, that if there's no Chayiv at all on the Kotten, he's doing something which is nothing, how could he be Moitzi Godel? So the pshara that I made, I thought, was relatively simple. It was relatively simple. The only reason why I hesitate is because I haven't seen any Kadmoinim suggest this pshat in Rashi, but I think it's a relatively simple pshat. I think that the pshat could be that it's true that the Chiyuv Chinuch is on the father. No question. Like Rashi says in over there in the Sugya and Brachos, he says in El Chagiga, Hitilu Chachomim Aloviv Alimoy. But if the Torah went ahead and authorized the father and or mother to mechanech the son, that authorization automatically obligates the cotton to cooperate with that obligation. Not his obligation, but it's something he has to cooperate with. Right? If the Torah says that I could do something to you, so you have to cooperate. Whether it is your obligation or not your obligation, you have to cooperate because the Torah said that I can do that to you. So if the Chachomim was sanctioned and authorized to be mechanech the child, by default, the child must go along with that authorization. Very similar to the Ran in Meseches Kiddushin and Daf Mem Aleph. The Ran over there discusses, why do we consider Kiddushin a mitzvah on a woman? She's not a mitzvah to get married. Yet the Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Mem Aleph that on a woman, there's a mitzvah bo yesemi bishlucha. So the Ran says, what mitzvah? So the Ran says, the woman has a mitzvah to help the man do his mitzvah. It's impossible without the woman. That's slightly different than chinuch. Because every woman could say, listen, I don't have to be the one that you do the mitzvah with. Do the mitzvah with her. Well, why do I have to be the lucky one? Do it with her. So that's why over there we can't pinpoint a woman and tell her, you are the woman. But once she steps up to the plate, she becomes that woman that you're doing the mitzvah with. And now she's called part of the package. Through the two, the mitzvah is happening, it's created through these two parties. Chinuch is like that, but stronger. Because it's as though the Torah said, Reuven, you have a chiyuv to marry Leah. So now Leah has to marry Reuven. Even if it's not a chiyuv. The Torah said, Reuven, you have to marry Leah. Leah must allow herself to be married. So that's what chinuch is. And that's why, although Rashi says, the chiyuv chinuch is ramya, Alav, it's on the father, because when we have to make a definition, the definition is the father is chayiv in chinuch, as the Gemara states clearly in many places. that the ish chayiv l'chanech es b'noi b'mitzvahs, and the woman, the child, has to cooperate with that to fulfill the obligation which his parents have on him, and that's the way we tied it up. So I want to tell you that if we look at it that way, first of all the kashas I answered from Rashi, Tosfos kashas and Rashi, because once there is a chiv for the cotton to cooperate, so now when he says the words have a shame amira. Now you could be yetzer shemei koine with those words. Now when we come to our sugya and lulav, I think you'll mamish enlighten it. The Ritva tells us that when you do a mitzvah, you have to do a mitzvah in a way that the cotton could be yetzer when he's a gadol. Okay. Now our sugya seems to say that as well. That every nuance has to be there. Even the fact that he could shake the lulav, everything has to be on exact. Yet, according to some Rishonim, he doesn't even have to own the lulav. How does that work? So I want to tell you, this is the root of the shaila. If you learn that the chiyuv chinuch is on the child, then there's one type of way of defining the mitzvah, the requirement of the mitzvah. And if you say it's on the father, it's another requirement. I'll explain to you why. If the chiyuv chinuch is on the cotton, that means the cotton wakes up the first day of Sukkot, and he has a mitzvah, the Rabbanon, to shake lulav today. And he has to shake lulav in a way that he could be yotzei when he's a gadol. If that's the case, it's got to be his. He has a chiv now to take lochem. He has a chiv to take a lulav, that he could be yotzei when he'll be a gadol, he could be yotzei with this lulav. But if the chiv chinuch is on the father, not only is it a different type of obligation, it defines it differently. Because then it's a training mitzvah. If it's a training mitzvah, the only reason why precision is a requirement is because it's not proper training. He's not being properly trained. If it's a chiyuv on him, then if it doesn't meet the requirement, it's not a proper mitzvah. If it's a chiyuv on the father, then if it doesn't meet the requirement, what you're missing is not the mitzvah, you're missing in the training. So if I would find you a requirement which is not in the training of the act, but rather in concept, so then, if it's not on the son, there's no issue. So, lochem is not in the heftza of the maisa and the tila. Our Gemara, all the requirements are things that are in the structure of the mitzvah. Yedei Elanadeya, he knows how to shake the lulav, he knows how to wear the tzitzis, these are all physical components of the mitzvah that are required for proper training. Otherwise, he's not trained. The requirement of lochem, many of the Rishonim come and say, one second, this is not a training requirement. This is a conceptual requirement. And therefore, this you could do even if it's not his. But again, some reject it because the fact that the cotton is involved, they look at it, once the cotton is involved, it's got to be subjective also. Has to be his as well. But I think it's clear why many of the Paisk, including the Mishnah Berurah, is mitzadet like that. That you could be Mekayim Chinuch. In fact, could somebody just bring me a Mishnah Berurah? We'll end with this. A Mishnah Berurah Chasukah. Sorry, Naftali, you're getting exercise. Chelek Vav. No, no such thing as training a kid. It doesn't have to be Lochem. He doesn't know if it's his or it's not his. In concept, his father is giving it to him. If his father dies to be mocked at him or not, that the father knows. The son doesn't know. But the question is training. Here, let's just... That's what I'm saying. That's the way we're learning. Okay. Here's the Mishnah Berurah. V'im toy feisim atinoi, kivon shelo yotza miyodoi, shaper domi. This is an example the Shulchan Aruch gives where you're not even losing ownership of the lulav at all. Comes the Mishnah Berurah, and he brings down Rotzoloyma dal yedei hazeh ein akoton kone klal v'lochein muter. He says this is okay. V'adinim loy makne le lakoton klal. He says you're not makne. Then he goes through how is the koton yetsa v'yesh me'achreinim shesever. The mitzvahs chinuch miskayim bishol. If you borrowed lulav, it's also good. The homischanech al yedei. Listen to the lashon. Through this, the child too is being trained in mitzvahs. And he only says it over here, the Mishnah Berurah. By a lulav that's missing, that's chasar, a esrog that's chasar, a lulav is niktam roishe. There's a training issue that's lacking. There's something in the actual ma'aseh mitzvah that's lacking. There's no tzad. And ein echanami, I agree with what Shmuel Ber is saying, that there is room for debate. One can say, well, no, you have to even train him in the conceptual aspects of the mitzvah. But at least we can understand that there's flexibility. If it would be an obligation on the cotton, that's stemming from the cotton, there would be no flexibility. Because then it's his lulav, it's got to be his lulav, it's got to be his esrog, it's got to be his mitzvah. Okay, next week in Mitzvah Shem, B'li Neder, we'll be going through the sugya on Dav Gimel Amid Aleph, until the bottom, Hakol Sheichtim. And the Maram HaKoyim is here, I jotted down some, the Shita Mekubetz is on the side of the Daf, Oisei, and the Shita Mekubetz is in Ksubis, Daf Lamed Amid Beis, Divri HaMaschil Shita Yeshana, and a Chazon Ish in the Goyim, Simen Beis, Ois Tes. And that pretty much does it. Thank you. Kol Tov.